like to invite you to take your bulletins and turn to the call to worship. And just before we read that together, in the first all, it says, "Show us your peace to us, O Lord." And we'll just make that a little more grammatically correct and take the "to us" out of there so that when it's your turn, just "show us your peace, O Lord." Let's read this together as it is stated in the bulletin. Come, let us worship in faith the God who is here and longs for our worship. Redeeming God, work in our hearts so that we, your people, can share in your peace. Show us your peace, O Lord. The paths of our world are not straight.
Still we listen for the voice in the wilderness to prepare a way for the Lord.
Behold, our God is coming.
God speaks peace into our noisy world.
Comfort, comfort my people, says our God.
We'll be singing "Hope is a Candle," verses 1, 2, and 5. It's in your bulletin, but we will also have the words up on the screen.
Hope is a candle once lit by the
Thanks so much for that music. I always envisioned the shepherds playing a banjo. Just seemed appropriate. That night in the fields near Bethlehem, some shepherds were guarding their sheep. All at once an angel came down to them from the Lord, and the brightness of the Lord's glory flashed around them. The shepherds were frightened. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, which will make everyone happy. This very day in King David's hometown, a Savior was born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will know who he is because you will find him dressed in baby clothes and lying in a bed of hay." Suddenly, many other angels came down from heaven and joined praising God, and they said, "Praise God in heaven, peace on earth to everyone who pleases God." After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see what the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying in a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angels had said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised, but Mary kept thinking about all this and was wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angels had said.
"I really don't think this is worth doing this year."
"Do this every year."
"You know what I mean. This year is going to be different.
Christmas is still happening. That much is still the same."
"But if we put up a nativity scene without a baby Jesus, people will think we don't know the story."
"If we were worried what people think, we wouldn't put this thing up at all."
"Exactly."
"Are you just mad because I asked you to do all the heavy lifting?"
"No, I'm just not in the Christmas spirit. Without the baby Jesus for the manger and without our son, it just doesn't feel like Christmas."
"When our son Mike left, he took more than a baby Jesus doll with him. And while we don't have our son or the Jesus doll with us anymore, we still have Christmas, and we still have God's promise of redemption. As long as that hasn't changed, I'm sticking with this Christmas ritual."
"I wish things could be like they used to be. I want Mike to come back so that we can have a normal Christmas again. I hope we don't have to get used to a new normal without him.
Normal was the problem. Last year was a normal Christmas. That's why he said he left. I refuse to accept a new normal without him. Mike didn't want things to be like they used to be. He wanted something better. I want him to come back so that I can have peace of mind again. I want him to come back so that I don't have to go to bed afraid for him anymore. I want him to come back so that we and the nativity set can be complete again.
Jesus, this probably isn't the best way to pray to you, but I've never been very good at religious stuff. I have this exam coming up, and if I don't do well on it, I could lose my scholarship, and then my parents would freak out, so...
Hey, what's cool? What's that thing doing here? I thought I told you to throw it out.
You did, but I thought it might come in handy in case we wanted to use it for other things.
Yeah, like having cozy chats, hey?
Listen, that's my problem, and you don't need to hear about it. I don't need to hear about your problems either, but don't you think you should give your parents their doll back for Christmas?
You're right. You don't need to hear about it, and I don't want to tell you.
Well, excuse me, but I really think you have better ways to spend Christmas than just hanging out here by yourself.
I'm meeting my girlfriend's parents, so I won't be hanging out by myself.
And what will you say when they want to hear about your family? You know the one you ran away from last Christmas? You're not worried how that's going to look?
You don't think I know I've done something stupid? You don't think I know that my parents probably hate me for it? I left because there was nothing I could do that would make them happy. I couldn't be myself with them, and I didn't want to be who they wanted me. To be perfectly honest, I'm losing sleep over this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I want some resolution here, too. But I can't just waltz back in there like nothing happened.
Complicated. Let's watch the game.
Children may go down to Sunday school now, please.
dramas that we've been watching. There'll be another one each week, and if you check in the bulletin, you'll see the link where you can find it on YouTube. A couple of announcements, if you take a look in your bulletin, we'll let you read most of them. There's a note in there saying that they need someone to sew some costumes, and that has been done. A number of people said that they would step forward and sew them, and so a huge thank you to them. You people are amazing. When there's a need, you step in and take care of it. That's just great. Number 10, a reminder for those of you who need to have your annual reports in. You actually need to hand them in, sort of by next weekend, okay? So thank you for looking after that. I'd like to welcome all of you here. I forgot to do that. It's wonderful to see you here, second Sunday in Advent. There's just something when you come into the church and you see the decorations up and we sing the songs. I don't know about you, but it brings just a sense of being settled, a sense of peace as we celebrate this together. Are there any guests here who would like to be introduced today? Not, we trust that each one of you feel at home, regardless of your circumstances. We'd like to have sharing in a moment. I'd just like to highlight a few things from our bulletin that we'd like to mention. We want to ask that you would continue to keep both Anna Funk and Will Braun in your prayers. They both had surgery this past week, and they're both on the mend. I talked with Erna this morning, and she said that Will is coming along. There was a little pain involved. Who knew? So he's doing okay. Anna Funk had her surgery last Monday, and she's still in hospital as well. As a note about Cody Pauls, that he is out of ICU, that he had an accident, and there was some trauma. I did not get an update in the last couple of days. Is there anything new that we could add to that? Okay. He's doing okay. That comes from a grandparent, so thanks so much. We'll continue to pray for him as he recuperates. A note not in the bulletin. Some of you remember Martha and Peter Reimer, who attended here until a few years ago, until they moved to Steinbach. Martha is Peter Sawatsky's sister, and she has cancer, which is very advanced. And so please pray for the family. Peter also mentioned that his other sister, Maria Gunther, is in the hospital and doing quite poorly. So please keep the family in your prayers, and also Peter. Family is important. Is there anyone that has something you would like to share this morning? Ed. Oh.
I just wanted to thank everyone who came to the Ehrenfest, our seniors program, last night, and especially to all the volunteers who helped set up the tables to clean up and brought all the delicious baking and the food, and we certainly had a good evening. So if anybody missed it this year, you better make sure you come next year, because there was some great kotleta and all kinds of good food and a good program. And just because you're not 80 or 90 doesn't mean you can't come. If you're over 60, that's senior here. So come on and join us. Thank you.
I think, Ed, you had your hand up as well?
I just wanted to say that God is just so absolutely awesome, even when we don't know it. Adina and I, this morning after our devotions, we kind of reflected on our lives from the very beginning, and we saw how God has been working behind the scenes in our lives. Mm-hmm. When we didn't even know he was doing that. And he has just directed us all of our lives to the point where we are today. And it is absolutely amazing when you look back at all he has done and the work that he has done, and we didn't even know it.
Thanks, Ed.
Hi, this is Sarah. I just want to make sure that all the ladies are welcome for the Frauenweihnachtsfest this afternoon at 2:00. Please bring your friends and family.
Thanks, Sarah. Is there anyone else? Well, I'll tell you what. Just take note of the people around you. And today, sometime, take a few minutes to pray for them. We all need prayer. There are things going on in our lives that we don't always tell people about. So pray for the people that are around you this afternoon. Okay, let's do that. Let's pray. God of peace, like the shepherd, surprise us with your presence. In the middle of our lives, with all of its excitements and struggles, you break in to remind us that you love us, you care about us, you have dreams for us. Thank you for the life that you have been set in front of us, a life of peace and hope, of joy and love. But sometimes, even though the tree is up and the poinsettias are out, even when we hear the stories again and sing the Christmas carols, we forget that your call to us, like the shepherds, is a call to a new way of living, to reflect the peace that you have brought to us. Help us to allow the story of Christmas to change us, to heal us, to give us hope for our lives and for all people. God, we come to you this morning also with concerns on our hearts. We ask that you would be with those in our church who are suffering with their body. Be with Anna Funk and Will Braun as they recuperate, with Henry Peters and Susanna Harder in hospital, with Martha Rempel and Maria Gunther. We pray for those in care homes, for those who are struggling with ongoing health issues, both physical and emotional. Be with us all as we plan family gatherings, that there would be times of connection and joy. We pray also for our world, for the struggle due to racism that has filled the news lately, for the many who live as refugees, for those living with the constant threat of war. We pray for those who lack the basic necessities of life, food and shelter and safety. God, help us to speak your peace in our world, to live the message of forgiveness, acceptance, and hope this Christmas time. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy could one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could save us sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels run? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss a face. Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect man? And the saving child you're holding,
I'll be taking the collection as we sing Liza Hiesel der Schnee.
Liza Hiesel der Schnee.
Our Advent series this year, we've entitled Waiting for Christmas. And we're talking about opening ourselves to hearing the story like the people did 2,000 years ago and allowing it to affect who we are. Last week we looked at hope, this week we are looking at peace, and it was the shepherds, I hope you recognize that, the shepherds who lit the candle this morning. Want to read in preparation for the message this morning, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. If you'd like to follow along, you'll find it in your bulletins. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rugged ground shall become level, and the rugged places be plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs on his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of the Lord. Chris, please.
Today's gospel reading is one that I'm sure is very familiar to most of us, if not all of us. If you've heard any passage from Scripture, likely it is one of the parts of the Christmas story. So, in an effort to look at what is actually meant by this passage, and not just glaze over it in a blur of familiarity, as I tend to do with Christmas story passages, let's take a couple minutes to try to get some fresh perspective on this familiar passage. We start with some shepherds. They were the Joe Everyman of the day. Their job didn't require any special training, and they likely spent the bulk of their time just sitting around, being bored, and trying to remain alert. I imagine it to be like when I worked the overnight shift at a call center back in the day. Just a group of people sitting around who spent the majority of the night talking, trying to stave off the boredom, and trying to remain alert enough to do some work when it came around. Then all of a sudden, bam! There's flashing lights and an angel coming down from heaven, proclaiming the birth of a Savior, the birth of Christ the Lord, the birth of a Messiah, the Anointed One of God. Then, after some brief navigational instructions, they only told the shepherds what town to find him in, and that he'd be on a bed of hay, meaning the shepherds would have to still do some work actually finding him. There's another sudden appearance. This time, there were thousands of angels that showed up, tens of thousands, a great multitude, a heavenly host, praising God and proclaiming peace on earth. And then they were gone. And it was back to being alone in a field in the darkness of night. Well, that certainly wasn't the most boring shift they'd ever had. For the shepherds, this night started out no different than any other. Imagine, you're at work, minding your own business, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, angels proclaiming a Savior and proclaiming peace on earth. When the shepherds heard this, they dropped everything that they were doing, left their flock, and headed straight to Bethlehem to see this newborn baby that they'd heard of. The angels didn't tell them that they had to go. They just wanted to go. They just needed to react to this news of a Savior, of one who would bring peace on earth. Before we get too much further, let us take a moment to consider, what did the angels mean when they declared peace on earth to all on whom God's favor rests? The word used that we translate as peace in the original Greek is eirene. There's many different ways to define this word for peace. I'll take a few moments to look through a few of the different meanings to see what it is that we mean when we're talking about peace today. The first definition is the classic definition of peace: a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. I think that this is a part of the peace that's being proclaimed here, in fact, a very important part, but that kind of peace alone is not enough. During the time of Jesus and those who wrote the New Testament, there was a period of relative peace known as the Pax Romana. It was a 200-year span that was noted for being almost completely devoid of wars and expansion. This, however, was still a peace held by the sword. This was a peace that needed to be enforced by violence. Since this message was coming into a world where there was already relative peace, clearly this peace was not enough. A peace whose source is violence, fear, and hate can never satisfy. There has to be more than this, a truer, better source of peace. So our search for what peace really means must carry on. The next definition of peace we are given is this: peace between individuals, that is, harmony and concord. This definition is starting to get closer to the heart of what we mean when we talk about peace on earth. However, this is still not the source of peace. It's an important piece of the peace puzzle, but this is also not the peace that we receive from God. It is a peace that could be merely negotiated for common good. Working together for mutual benefit is not necessarily real peace. You can still work together with your neighbors just to get what you want, even if you dislike them. You can still have the resentment for each other and merely put on a mask of peace to make it easier to get through daily life. So while we now have a further piece of the puzzle that makes up peace, we have still not truly discovered what this peace the angel spoke of means. This brings me to the last definition of peace that I want to look at today, which is the peace of Christ, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is. This is the peace that comes from following the commandments of God, and through that, acquiring peace. This is the peace that rests at the very core of our being, inner peace that only can come through love and trust, peace that comes from confidence in who we are, that we are the beloved of God, knowing that we have nothing to prove, not needing to boast in ourselves, but boasting in our God who sets us free, peace that comes from knowing that we are deeply and unconditionally cared for, knowing that we do not need to hoard possessions or defend our borders. God will take care of all things. This is a peace that comes from loving God through following His commandments and accepting Jesus into our hearts. Once we have truly accepted Jesus, then we can move out into the world in a spirit of peace, with an abundance of peace, ready to flow out into the rest of our lives. The peace that comes from God is deeply connected with the other themes that we're looking at during this Advent season. Last Sunday, we looked at hope. Hope is a knowledge that God is out there to look out for us. We know in our souls that God will look out for us. We know that we are looked after and that we will be safe, that we don't need to lash out at the world around us. We can put our trust in Him. The next theme that we're looking at in Advent is love. And love begins with God's love for us. This is an all-encompassing love that surrounds us. God's love is deeper than the ocean. It is an overwhelming presence that, once we can learn to embrace it and accept it, will make us become beacons of love and show that to all the earth. It is through this love that peace can be achieved. When we love those who are around us, we are at peace with them. When we ourselves are loved, we can love ourselves and find peace within us. The last theme of Advent is joy. When we are filled with hope, peace, and love, how can our reaction be anything but joy? This joy that Christ brings us is already alluded to in today's passage from Luke. After the announcement is made that Jesus has been born, that a Savior has come, the angels cannot help but come out down from heaven and praise God and announce the peace that this joyous event will bring. The angels show us how to react to the coming of so much good into this world. They are just so overwhelmed with joy that comes from the peace that Jesus will bring, they cannot contain themselves. They have come to earth, a great multitude, a flood of angels coming from heaven. They cannot hold back. They simply have to sing the praises that the mighty God has made this possible. And for the shepherds, just going about their daily routines, this was such a sudden and unexpected way for peace to bring out. A sudden torrent, a downpour, a thunderstorm, a hurricane of peace, more peace than they could possibly imagine, suddenly announced from the heavens in the most grand way possible, blasting into their world and leaving them forever changed, with a sense of inmost calm and assurance. The extraordinary breaking into the ordinary. So peace starts within us. It starts in ordinary places, in the places you might never expect. And it begins with having no fear of judgment from the repercussion of God, with being content with what we receive in this life, since we know that we can trust in the great hope that comes from God, the hope that He will be with us and that He is looking out for us. It begins with a presence that is overwhelming. It is more than we feel we deserve and more than we could have asked for. This, however, is not where peace ends. Peace is not just a passive thing, though that is how it is often imagined. Peace is not a tranquil pond alone in the pristine woods, separated from the rest of the world. Peace is more like a bubbling spring. It starts in seclusion. It starts in our hearts. But then it flows forth like a stream moving out into the rest of our lives. There it brings harmony in our families, in our churches, and in our communities. Peace is a force that can bind us together in love and joy. It is once we have peace in ourselves and then peace in our communities that our streams of peace can flow into one another and make a mighty rushing river, an overwhelming force of peace that spills out into the rest of the world, a cry for unity and love, a cry for compassion, a cry for forgiveness, a cry for all as it should be. Let us today also feel this overwhelming power of peace. Try to feel peace as a sudden explosion, the way the shepherds would have those 2,000 years ago. This presence that fills us so completely that joy and love flow out from us and cannot be stopped. An overwhelming tide of emotion, of love and acceptance that just needs to be let out. Feel this urgency of peace. Feel it straining at your inmost being, yearning to be let out. I would now invite you to take a few minutes to stand up and turn to your neighbors and shake their hands and wish them the peace of Christ. I encourage you to walk around if you are able and extend the hand of peace to those who you normally don't get a chance to interact with. Let's take some time and pass the peace. Thank you, everyone. Let us keep this peace in our hearts as we go out into the world. Let us be overwhelmed by the glad tiding of peace, just as the angels were on that day when Christ was born, just as the shepherds were. Let us not keep this excitement to ourselves. Let us be instruments of God's peace, starting within ourselves, moving to our interpersonal relationships and to our communities, and flowing out to how we act as nations and as the world as a whole. Amen.
I want to thank Jeff for blowing out that candle. I don't know if you can see from the back, but there's a ribbon tied around it, so it would have caught fire if peace, hope is still in the world. It's just not a lit candle anymore.
Oh,
to invite you to stand for the benediction and the last song if you would like. Go in peace. Love and care for one another in the name of Christ. And may the power of the Holy Spirit make the rough places in your life smooth. May the dark valleys of your hearts be filled and the rugged mountains leveled and the way of the Lord be made ready for you. And may he come to you and bless you and shine forth from you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
The show.